Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Although we are not just in Midtown, we are scattered from one end of this country to the other, and we're very grateful to have all of you with us. I am here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. As Daniel says, there's only one power, and that power is showing up as each one of us, always, all the time. I want to welcome you to our celebration this morning, wherever you're listening from, whether it's on Zoom or Facebook or out in the ethers. We don't know where you are. The important part is that you gain something from hearing what we talk about in this session, and it triggers some greater truth from within you, because that's where your truth lies. Is in your own consciousness, your own heart, your own mind. And if something we say, sing about, talk about, triggers some new idea, then we've accomplished what we've come here to do, which is to awaken within each of us a greater idea of ourselves, a greater idea of our world, a greater idea of life itself. Our international organization, Centers for Spiritual Living, has as a motto, we are committed to awakening the world, awakening individual people to their spiritual magnificence, and creating a world that works for everyone. That's a huge vision and a huge goal, and we are doing it one person at a time, one group at a time. So as we come into our celebration today, we have that in mind, and we bring that forward with good ideas and good thoughts. We do this with our basic principles of new thought, our basic ideas of what is truth and how life works. And we will find those in our Declaration of Principles, which we will share together at this time. I'll read them for yourselves as well, please. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Thank you. So we offer those not so much credo or something you must believe in order to participate with us. Much more, it is a set of beliefs and ideas against which we can compare what we think. It provides a kind of framework into which we can compare and think about what we believe and how we believe it. Do I believe in one God or multiple gods? Do I believe in one power or conflicting powers? The answers to those questions have a lot to do with how we live our lives and how we create the experiences that we have for ourselves. So right now at this time, we're going to go into a period of spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. Today, it will be led by one of our co-leaders of our practitioners, Judy Ailey. And Judy has been around this teaching as long as I have. She doesn't look it. She's much younger than I am. So that's a good thing. However, she is definitely a wise woman with some great ideas. So she's going to share with us and then lead us in an affirmative prayer. Thank you, Judy.
All right. Well, welcome, and so glad that you have all joined us today. You know, the theme for the month of June is Mindfulness for Mavericks. And today's message is going to be Mindful Intentions. When I think about mindful intentions, I think about how I focus my thought, how I have the ability to focus my thought only on that which I desire to experience in my life. Doing this is something that I think we can train ourselves to do more and more. I really do have complete freedom to choose the thoughts that I want to dwell on in my life. So for me, part of this is about bringing my awareness to what my thoughts and my intentions are. So I think it's worth taking a little time to think about this. you know, if we have situations in our lives that we struggle with, it's a good practice to kind of step back and look at what we've been focusing our thoughts and our attention on. I don't try to do this in any kind of a blaming way, because that really doesn't help. Instead, I try to look at myself and see, what has my mental atmosphere been? What have my thoughts been focusing on? Have I just been going along and not taking time to specifically bring my awareness and attention onto where I want my life to go? What thoughts do I choose and encourage? I remember one time early in this teaching, Dr. Kennedy Schultz, who was my teacher, he said, and this sounds just so basic, but it was so revolutionary for me. He said that we really do have the power of choice regarding what we think about. I was like, oh my gosh, you mean I don't have to be thinking about all these other things? I think I was sort of the victim of my own negative thinking and not realizing that I had the power and the ability to change my focus and my thoughts. It was a huge relief for me to understand this. And that when I did focus my thoughts to reflect what I wanted to experience in life, things did go better. So part of this is bringing our awareness to life and paying attention to what we're thinking. We're just kind of blindly going along in life and reacting to whatever's happening around us. We can easily spin out of control and into negative thinking. What thoughts do you have that support you in where you want to go in life? What thoughts are there that you want to turn around to something more affirming and positive for you? And there is the task of knowing in your heart what your intentions are. You know, last month we focused on listening to our heart. And I find that that takes some time and some sorting out. So pay mindful attention to the words that you speak. Pay mindful attention to the thoughts that you dwell on. And pay mindful attention to knowing that you are never separated from this power for good that supports us in every way. I'm going to end this part with a quote from Ernest Holmes. He was the founder of this teaching. We are not the creator. Now, this word which we send out is going out into creative mind. For man or woman does not create. He or she simply uses creation. And creative mind is going to take it, which means our thoughts or our intentions, up, and it's going to bring back to us the thing that we have thought of. I will send out my word and it will not return void. Now we are using the law of mind and action. So we are putting mind and action through the avenue of our thoughts. Mental law is thought going out to produce a certain definite result. So these are our mindful intentions that we are planting as seeds into the creative mind that we call God. All right, so now with that, I would like to lead us in an affirmative prayer. And I just want to say that last night, when I found out that I was going to be doing this, I turned on the TV just for a moment before, you know, I went to bed, and I realized that Atlanta was the focus of national, if not international, news. And that this morning on the New York Times, we were the lead story. That again, a horrific event took place in our city where another life was lost. And so how do we as religious scientists bring mindful attention, mindful intentions to this? So with that in mind, I'm going to lead us in a spiritual mind treatment, because, you know, we can react with all kinds of feelings, and there are all kinds of feelings spinning around in me and all of us about this. It's our beloved city, but it's time to know a greater truth. So I invite you to know that with me. All right, let's just take a moment and relax and know that there is one power for good in the universe. This power, of light, of love, of truth, of beauty, of prosperity, of vibrant health, of goodness of every kind, is expressing through all of life, everywhere, all the time. It is really the ultimate truth of reality, the ultimate truth of my life, and the lives of each person that is listening to this. So please accept this for yourself as I say these words for myself. I know that I am never separated from this power of good, that this power flows through me completely, perfectly, expressing itself as good in the world. Today, I take time to specifically use my mind to create the intentions that I desire in my life, in my world. And my intention today is to build a world of peace, of love, of respect, of harmony. I know that this presence and this power supports this in every way. I know that this power is only one. It is never divided against itself. There is no us and them. So even people that I may feel that I disagree with, or that I have feelings that are less than positive, even with those people, I look to see the good in them. I know that there is a divine spark in every single person and in all of life. And as I look for this, and as I look for the good in any situation that I am encountering in the world, I know that the good and the spirit there grows and it is embellished because I am focusing my attention on that. I know that I bring this presence of God, this presence of life into my world. So wherever I am, whether it's at home with my family, with my close associates, whether it's out in the world, if I'm going to work, no matter where I am, with my neighbors, with my friends, I bring this sense of peace and of wholeness and of oneness. And I know that I am divinely inspired to take actions in my life that are absolutely perfect for me and for the world that I desire to create and to express. This is a world of peace, a world of love, a world where people live lives that are meaningful and fulfilling in every way. And I affirm this for myself and for my fellow human beings that are riding on this planet with me today. So I know that this is the truth. I turn away from any idea that this life, that life has to be so, that there has to be so much victimizing, so much sense of loss. Instead, I bring, and I'm not ignoring that. I know that's the reality that is out there at one level. But I know that behind this presence and this power, this life and this love, allows me to bring the best of who I am into the world. So I take the actions that make sense for me. I affirm that I am divinely guided and led. I listen to my heart deeply, and I am mindful of my intentions as I live in the world. I am so grateful for this teaching in my life. I know that it guides and directs me and allows me to expand and grow in every way possible. So I'm just grateful for this. I'm grateful for Center for Spiritual Living Midtown and its message of truth and love and peace and reconciliation. So I release this now, knowing that it is so, and so it is. All right. Well, So the song that we have now is called It's in Every One of Us, and it's performed by David Pomerantz. And I believe he also wrote this. So please enjoy.
It's in Every One of Us. By and by, no. By and by, if you don't know who you are and what's possible. But the real, you know, that song's been around our teaching a long time. A lot of centers use it. We've used it. And what I've done with that and what others have done with it is often to change the words. It's in every one of us here and now. Because once we recognize who we are and where we are and what this life is really about, then we know it's right here present in every one of us, it being what? One of the things that was exciting to me when I first got here, I got to this teaching. I was involved at the time in a doctoral program at Emory, and we had just begun about a year before that. Emory decided that all of our writing and all of everything being produced by Emory University had to be written in non-sexist language. We had to do away with he as an automatic pronoun. We also had to do away with referring to God as he and find new and creative ways to write about God itself, to write about life without using the he or she thing. Or we weren't even allowed to say he, she. And it was a bit of a challenge to start with. We had workshops and classes on how to do it, because the idea was if we change how we're writing and we change how we're thinking, then we will begin to change our experience. And we would not be putting any one pronoun ahead of the others. Of course, nowadays we've got many, many, many pronouns. But what was exciting to me, I was in the midst of all of that process when I walked into my first religious science center or science of mind center here in Atlanta. And the minister talked about God as it. Now that sounded sacrilegious a bit, because it's kind of depersonalizes it. And yet that was the power. That was the real power of it, because for me, I didn't have to get with Father, Mother, God or try and assign any kind of gender to this power, because the power that we call God, that we talk about as this infinite, is bigger and grander and greater and expresses itself as every gender. It expresses itself as non-gender. It expresses itself as planets and earth and ideas and thoughts. It is the energy and the something behind everything. So when this song came out, we quickly picked it up in our centers and started, with the words adjusted, started singing it a lot. It's a bit dated now, I admit. And but it reminded us that this power, this absolute, complete, full power is available in every one of us as every one of us. And it's not withheld anywhere from anyone. Wow. Sit with that a minute and decide whether you believe it or not. Because how you believe it, how much you believe it, has a lot to do with how we live. If we are experiencing and seeing life as available to some and not available to others, then that will be our experience. And if we've had that experience, if you come from a background where, because of who you were or your ethnicity or your race or any of that, you felt you got deprived. You didn't just feel it, but you were deprived of opportunities. You begin to get the belief that that is how life works. And then the experience continues. And it settles us into a duality, an idea that there's two powers or two gods or two possibilities. And you know, our world has been settled for a long time into duality. And it still is in many places, in many parts. And we're seeing and experiencing that up loud and noisy and in our faces right now. And some of that's discouraging and upsetting. Some of it can be hopeful and gratifying that we're finally facing some of this stuff. we faced it at various times in our history, and then it kind of falls back and back. You know, we say in this teaching, and I learned it. It's also true we learned it in other places, that we don't change our minds in a straight line. That you get a better idea. You get a better idea of greater prosperity. You get a better idea of different experiences for yourself. And your mind stretches and moves, and you open up to new ideas and new things. And then it stretches to a certain point where it just won't stretch anymore right then. And it's like a rubber band. It comes back. It pulls back in order to maintain a certain amount of status quo and a certain amount of familiarity to things. And when it stretches back, though, it never stretches all the way back to where it was. And we've done that. We did it in the 60s. We stretched a lot of stuff in the 60s. I was right there in the middle of it. And then we've stretched in gay rights, and we've stretched in all kinds of things where we recognize the beauty and power of individuals for who they are. Expressions of an infinite God. Whatever descriptors we can add to that. We're in another stretch. We're in one of those places where we're stretching in a way we are having to look straight on at what so many people in our culture, in our world, have been experiencing. And we're going to stretch, and maybe at some point we'll stretch back a little bit, but we are now in that expansive process, and it's messy, and it's scary for many people, and it's very, it can be difficult, hard conversations to have. People we care about hurting. Some of you having riots in your neighborhoods. I mean, we've got all of this going on around us right now. Atlanta has been the lightning rod for this issue for a very long time. And we have been the healing point for this issue. And I believe we're going to continue in that role as we face and deal with these things that have happened in the last few days. My heart goes out to Rayshard Brooks and his family for all that they've gone through. But you know what else? My heart goes out to a policeman who thought his only solution was violence. Because as soon as you drop into that duality of victim and perpetrator, we're no longer in the clarity of the one. It was a great book a few years ago. I wasn't even planning to talk about all this, but oh well. I warned someone, if I get too far off track, just cause a technical difficulty and I'll go away, or you can go away. But the thing is, it's really important that we talk about this from a science of mind perspective, from a new thought perspective. Rollo May wrote a book a number of years ago now entitled Power and Innocence. And in it, he tells the story of a young black woman and her whole experience of power and innocence and victimization and all of the things that go into that. And what he concludes from the story and what he shares in the story is that violence, at whatever level violence is being done, whether it's verbal violence or physical violence, does not come from a place of power. It comes from a place of powerlessness. When we forget who we truly are, when our words no longer have power to affect change, when our feelings are no longer honored or seen or recognized, and it seems nothing is left, then, pow, we move into violence. Whether it's calling somebody a name, whether it's attacking them, taking their rights away where we could or where we try to. And the only way through that is not by out-powerfuling the other, because you're not building power when you do violence. You're not doing power over someone else. You're doing powerless. Who's the most powerless here can often be the most violent. The way through it is to step out of that duality, out of that victim-perpetrator place in our consciousness first, and get into a place where we know who we are. When I became a minister in this teaching, my vision and purpose was, and still is to this day, awakening people to know who you really are and how much power you have. We're fond of saying there's enough power in your little finger to move the world and change mountains and move mountains. And if you think about that from an atomic energy perspective, if you could release the atomic energy in the tip of your little finger, you could pretty well level this part of the world. Fortunately, you can't. So we're going to keep your power in control, but it's in the control of your consciousness. It's in the control of your mind. The most powerful thing on the planet, most powerful thing in the universe is your consciousness, your mind, your imagination. Can you think of anything that has happened or that goes on in the world today that was not created by somebody's mind? Atomic energy, the internet, thank God. I can sit home and talk to you. Someone's mind came up with it. The ability to have compassion and passion and love across all kinds of boundaries. It's that same thing. It's that power of love and life coming from within us because of our minds. Now, in this teaching, when we talk about mind, we're not talking about the disembodied intellect. And in some modern spiritual systems, there's a lot of talk about mindlessness and the mind versus the feelings, or the mind versus the heart. In this material, when Ernest Holmes talks about mind, he's not talking about mind versus feelings. He's talking about consciousness, would be even a better term for it. Consciousness that includes our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, all of those things which bubble up within us. That's the real power that we have available to us. We often say there's a powerful good in the universe and you can use it. There's a powerful good in the universe and it can use you. And that power is your mind. How you think, what you think. I've been thinking since all of this broke out here in Atlanta, all over the country, all over the world, how much time I spend immersed in duality through TV shows, through books. I mean, what good book do you know doesn't have a tension point that it builds toward and then resolves? And the tension point is always some kind of duality. Something is right and something is wrong. Something is good, something is bad. And I find myself quite often stomping around the living room saying, "Don't you people know who you are?" Well, they're just characters in a book, so of course they don't. But what we have done is we live in this world of two-ness, this world of separation, this world of this or that, good or bad, right or wrong, us and them. And we end up categorizing, if we're not careful, our whole life into those two categories. And what this teaching is about is awakening us to an idea that there's a higher place, there's a higher plane. Einstein said you cannot solve a problem at the same level that the problem was created. You've got to rise in consciousness. We have to rise above that two-ness into the recognition of a oneness. Victim perpetrators are really a oneness. They're two sides to the same coin. You know, you got to have one to have the other. You can't have one without the other. What I'm about and what I'm inviting other people to do is to consider rising above that. What is the purpose and value of that being played out right now in the world? And I think it's to awaken the whole world to the idea that there's something more and something better, a better way to be, that we can have compassion and love for others without them needing to be like us. Oneness does not mean sameness. Oneness means the expression of life individually at your highest and best knowledge of it. And I don't need to rise above anyone else or to have the illusion of rising above anyone else in order to do that for myself. But I do have to do that for myself. And I have to oftentimes rise above my old ideas of myself and step towards a higher and greater expression of myself. don't know if I mentioned earlier, I think I didn't, but there's a poll out there if you have a minute to fill it out. I think it's working for some and not for others. Don't worry about it. But in that poll, I ask you, what are you feeling right now about all of this? What do you want to feel is the next question. And what are you willing to do to get there? You know, Ernest says in the textbook that this is not a teaching about get rich quick or something for nothing. Sorry, guys. I hope that when I came in, it wasn't. But what it is about is that everything we gain in growth, in expression, in expansion, in prosperity, in love, in relationships, and all of that is paid for by spiritual and mental coin. We got to get a better idea of ourselves. If you wonder what your idea of yourself is, look around. Look at your life. Look at where your boundaries are. Look at what you're doing or not doing. Look at where you feel your disappointments in yourself or in life. Those are all mirrors that simply reflect back what we really believe in and think about ourselves, what our consciousness says about us. It's so much easier to blame somebody else. It's all what's his name or what's her name or why her name or it's the government or it's the IRS. That's one of my favorites to blame. Everything that's messed up is the IRS. Well, no, it might be my attitude towards the IRS, but it's not the IRS. What we are and what we think we are is what we experience in life. So just look at it. You don't have to make yourself right or wrong. You just look at it and decide, is this who and how I want to be? Because remember, you have the greatest power of the universe available to you in your own mind and consciousness. You don't have to reach, you don't have to make anything happen. It's already present and there. And all of the possible resources needed to live the life of your dreams are available to you right now. This teaching is all about opening us up to be able to utilize the power that we have for ourselves, for others, for the world. Because you see, what happens in this idea of oneness is when you get a better idea of yourself, it automatically goes that you get a better idea of other people. It's not an arrogant one-upmanship, because that's not a better idea of yourself, because part of the belief system in that is that you're separate and that somehow others could hold you back when they can. And that's harder. It's harder to get there if you've been abused, if you've been in a background where you were held as a second-class citizen by a whole world. I get that. But we can get there. And one of the most powerful tools for getting there is the tool of intention. Setting a mental intention for what you want to create, what you want to live, how you want to live, who you want to be, and doing that consciously, intentionally. I have an intention to live in peace and harmony and in deep relationship with people from all kinds of backgrounds and what would seem strangeness to me, perhaps, especially from my growing up days. I have an intention to see beyond the surface of anybody who's willing for me to look. And if they're not, then I simply go with namaste. The spirit in God in me sees and salutes the God spirit in you. That's part of my intention. My intention is to live comfortably and well. And my intention is to see everyone around me do the same. I grew up in the last house in the white neighborhood next to the African or black neighborhood. Back in the deep south in a small town, they called it the quarters. And the disparity across that line between our housing and their housing was horrible. And I knew it as a little kid. And I asked why? How come? Why does this difference? Our schools were totally different. One was good, well-built, well-designed, modern, even though it was in a small town. The other was not. And it was, quote, the other. I saw that from a small child, and I said, this isn't right. It can't continue to be this way. And I got in lots of trouble. I'll still get in trouble. I don't, you know, because I am determined not to see the victimhood, but to see the potential and the possibility of every person. And I'll be right there holding anybody up that wants to climb out of that place of victimhood, whatever it takes. And that takes emotional process. Sometimes it takes huge amount of facing yourself, of facing the beliefs that you have allowed to be embedded in our consciousness. And those are important because they shape who we are, and they're important because releasing them frees us to be something else. So look at what your intentions are. And then once you set an intention, you have to keep coming back to it. Remember that rubber band of your brain, that rubber band of your mind, where you stretch into a whole new thing. And, oh, my God, I'm seeing everybody as my brother, my sister, my other, my same, Ernest talked about them, that we should see each other as our alter egos of one another. I can be there for a while until somebody pulls out in traffic or does some other thing that I can go right into victim if I'm not careful. And the rubber band pulls back a little bit, but it never goes all the way back. I got to keep going back to that idea that I am the center of the most powerful power in the universe. And nothing and nobody can hold me back from that except my own giving them permission by what I believe about them. And I refuse to do that as much as possible. And we're all works in progress. This is not a done deal. Some of you are further along than I am. I've got some little edge on some people just because I've been around the sun more. However, we're here to support each other. This spiritual community is about supporting one another in becoming and clearly expressing who we truly are. And then honoring and lifting up anyone around who says help, to also know who they truly are. Anyone who wants to participate. And we're all at different places, and we go up and down and back and forth, and the rubber bands of our consciousness go back and forth. And that's the fun and excitement of it all. If you ever got in one place and stayed there forever, you might as well be dead. Because there's so much more. And that's the coolest part. Ultimately and finally, there is no dead. There is dead to this experience. There's your body perhaps dying, and as you are set free then to move on to whatever's next. But life is life is life is life is life, which just goes on and on and on. That's a truth I can celebrate. That's a truth I get behind. So remember who you are. Remember what you're here for, and set the highest and greatest intention you can come up with for what you want to become and who you are to become. Because you're wonderful, and so am I. So it is. Thank you. Deep breath. Shift gears a little. So now we're going to hear from one of our board members who wants to talk to you about and talk to us about the value of what you're experiencing and expressing here.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Rev, and thank you for that message. Without a doubt, a few golden nuggets in there to certainly take away and to ruminate on and to plant as seeds for us. And we know that there's an opportunity every week, every Sunday, every day, for us to plant seeds for this message. Seeds which will germinate and grow in the good soil of our consciousness, and they will blossom and flourish. And so my name is David Gibbs. I'm one of your board members, a member of the Board of Trustees. And while we're meeting online, we still have the opportunity to contribute to this ministry and this effort through the links on our website, through PayPal, and simply by sending a good old-fashioned check to the address that'll be provided in the chat. Also in the chat, you'll see a link that you can click and make your donation. And we want you to please know your generous contributions help us expand our reach to a wider audience, bringing this message of peace, freedom, and health, particularly during these challenging times. As always, ours is just but to remain steadfast in our commitment, in our consciousness, and just a little willingness will have us see the light of day, the light of love, the light of life shine through in our life, in our world, in our affairs. And we all know it's importantly and direly urgent, as it is always and in this moment. So thank you for your time, for your talent, for your treasures, which you offer to this ministry. And please join me in reading the affirmation of prosperity, which you'll find on the screen or in your program. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Thank you for that. And a few announcements to share with you as well. June is Mindfulness for Mavericks Month. What a powerful affirmation. And next week's talk is entitled Mindful Speech with our very own Reverend Cynthia McCarthy as our guest speaker. She's an independent New Thought minister and now practitioner student with the Centers for Spiritual Living. And I know as a board member, Reverend Cynthia has brought a world of experience and knowledge to our social media offerings. Dr. Bob will return the following week to bless us with a message as we continue to move through Mindfulness for Mavericks Month. I want to remind you also of our spiritual empowerment on Tuesdays at noon and Thursdays at 6 p.m. at this very same Zoom link that you signed on for this particular Sunday service. You can also find it on the website and in the newsletter. There's a new target for returning to the Academy of Medicine for in-person celebrations. We are looking at August 2nd as a target date. We all know that this is a very fluid situation, as many like to say, and so we want to keep that date in our mind, and we want to be mindful of what we're all hearing and learning, and recognize that your board and the Reverend are also very mindful about what it is that we believe will be in all of our best interest at that time. So stay tuned in that regard. But let's hold high hopes, because we know how much we enjoy being with each other. Our new contribution system, ACS Realm, is up and running, and I have to say, it is about as simple as you can get. I thoroughly enjoy it myself, and appreciate the fact that we've moved in a direction that facilitates our giving. So if you have any questions about it, you can reach Michael Wagner at MRWAGONER@MSN.com. Perhaps we can post his name as well in the chat. So we want to also recognize our many special folks, our practitioners who are with us. They also will be chatting their information into the chat function. And we want you to know, and they want you to know in particular, that anytime that you have a thought, an idea, that you, a situation, a circumstance that you want to work through, that they're available for you. They're available for you and us to know our highest truth about ourselves, about God, about this world. And so please, please take advantage of them in the best way. And they'll be grateful to offer whatever they can to you. So with that, I return it back to Reverend Bob.
Before we go there, though, let me just quickly say, from the two things, from the poll that you many of you are able to get into and take, we have the full range of emotions of how people are feeling about what's going on, from anger to sadness to hopefulness, right on through. Whatever you're feeling, it's okay. There's not a wrong feeling. So I'm really grateful for your sharing. Remember what you said you would be willing to do this week. Number of you are meditating, a number of you said you'd be willing to do spiritual mind treatment. And almost all of you who said, I'm willing to try to see the God in every person. So thank you for that. That's what would change the world. Join me, if you will, in our closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you. Have a marvelous week, you guys.